The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
We will continue today as we look into the basic doctrines or the basic teachings found over in Hebrews chapter 6. So with that in mind, if you'll go over to Hebrews chapter 6, we'll read verses 1 and 2 again. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine or the teachings of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith toward God, the doctrine of baptisms, and of the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Today, we will examine the teachings on the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead. All people die. This physical existence by design from our great awesome Creator is a state of temporary being. This physical life is not a life of life inherent, life within itself. It is not supposed to last. The word resurrection that is listed in Hebrews chapter 6 can refer both to the spiritual resurrection that God's people will experience just like Jesus Christ did 2,000 years ago, and there is also a resurrection for everyone else. And that is a resurrection that is back to physical human life for a period of time the Bible calls the judgment. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. In verse 27, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, and we see, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. It could be resurrection. I don't mean from the usage of the words, but of course, there has to be the resurrection for the judgment to take place. For the church of God, it is a reward. Because we are being judged now. Our judgment is happening now. Brother, we should all know that death entered into the world by the sin of Adam, and we should also understand the resurrection of God's people to spirit life comes by the belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians and let's see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we will begin reading in verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? The Sadducees, hold your place, I'm not going to go anywhere else, but just hold your place because we'll continue reading. But the Sadducees, one of the sects of the Jews at the time when Jesus Christ walked the earth, said there is no resurrection, and you can find that looking for a reference. You can see that back in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 23. And for the next several verses, it goes on and talks about that, but that one verse says that the Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection of the dead. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15 now and verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? It says, if there is not a resurrection of the dead, then Jesus Christ isn't risen either. This is what they are implying. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Verse 14, and if Christ is not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yes, and you are found, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead not raise not. He said, we've been false witnesses because we've been testifying that God raised him up. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then what we've been saying is not true. Verse 16, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. In other words, they died and that's it. That's all there is. Verse Verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and became or become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. He died. Jesus Christ died and was resurrected. And as a result of that fact that he died and he was resurrected, we too can know that there is the resurrection of the dead. That's what these verses are telling us. Because we see very plainly here that God raised Jesus Christ after his death to show us that through his Son, we have hope of a life after our physical bodies die. Let's go to Acts chapter 24, Acts 24, verse 15, Acts 24 and verse 15. And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. We do have the hope. Paul said that if we don't have the resurrection of the dead, if Jesus wasn't resurrected, then we don't have the resurrection of the dead, then we have no hope. He says, but by the fact that he is raised from the dead, we have the hope. Because of the resurrection of the dead. And furthermore, it's also good for us to understand that every person will be judged of all those things written in the scriptures according to their works or according to their deeds. But that's another sermon. We are not covering the doctrine of eternal judgment today. But I would want us to understand these two topics tie very closely together. But we're not covering that aspect today. At this point, I'd like to give two passages for us to read that relate to the resurrection. And as we read these passages, we should be able to develop what I would consider a basic understanding about the doctrine of resurrection of the dead, just by reading these couple of passages. Now, we're going to read much more than this, but I'm going to start off by reading these. And the first one I want to go to is in the book of Job, chapter 19. Job, chapter 19. And here we find this is a very early mention in scriptures about the resurrection. Job, chapter 19, verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Okay, now, I want to make a point here. This word, shall stand, that phrase could simply have been the word resurrect or resurrection. It isn't. I'm saying it could have been because in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for resurrect or resurrection, this is a general sense. I'm not trying to get technical here. I'm just trying to prove the point or try to make the point here that in the Old Testament, the word means to rise or to stand. The implication is the same inference in the New Testament as well by the Greek word for resurrect or resurrection is you are standing, you're no longer standing, and now you're standing again. That's the gist of it. That would be the sense of it. And so what he's saying here is, for I know that my Redeemer lives and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. There's a lot more to this verse than we just read it, you know, when we first read through the verse, because there's an indication here that there's an understanding that Jesus Christ was coming, the Messiah was coming, that he was going to die, that he was going to be resurrected. Now, I'm reading it a lot more to the verse, but this is what's implied by the words themselves. Verse 26, and though after my skin worms destroyed this body, in other words, hey, I'm dead. You know, I'm dead and I'm buried and the worms are going to come in and they're going to remove this physical flesh off of my bones. This is what it is saying. Gruesome as that may sound to some, but this is what he's saying. Yet in my flesh shall I see God. He says, I know I'm going to see him. In other words, I know I'm going to be resurrected. This is what he's saying. Let's go to the other passage that I want to go to at the very beginning here. so that we can get a basic understanding about the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead, and that is in the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19, we begin, "You dead men shall live." That's enough right there, but we're going to read on because he's going to make other points here. "You dead men shall live. Together with my dead bodies shall they rise." He understood this. This was known. This was known back in the Old Testament. There was going to be a resurrection of the dead body back to life again. "Awake and sing, you that dwell in dust, for your dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." That's picturesque. I don't have to even explain this, go into this, and just talking about this is very picturesque here. Verse 20, it says, "Come, my people, enter into your chambers and shut your doors about you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be past." What indignation be past? Well, what he could have been referring to that's going on in Israel, but he also could be referring to the indignation is past of death. "For behold, the Lord comes out of his place." He's coming back. And when he comes back, what is he going to do? He's going to have a resurrection of the dead. This is what is implied here. This is what is implied here. Okay, now at this time, what I want us to do is we go through and look at this particular doctrine, this teaching of the resurrection of the dead. I'd like for us to see what I would consider to be some of the key scriptures and see some points about this important doctrine. The first point that I want to make here is that Jesus was resurrected. So will all of humanity be resurrected. Now that's a very important point to understand. The passage we go to see this, there's a lot of different places. The one that I'm using here is a key passage here, a key scripture here, is in 1 Corinthians 15, back to what is called the resurrection chapter. In verse 20, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Because he died, he's resurrected, it's appointed unto man to die, we also are going to be resurrected. That's the point. That's the point that we can see and we can understand from this. Okay, another point, the next point that I want us to see is both Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul, New Testament I'm referring to, stated there would be resurrections from the dead. Now, before I go anyplace else, I want to just mention, we know from Scripture, and you can do this on your own, I'm not going in to show these things, there have been in Bible history, several people that have been resurrected from the dead back to, they were dead, they were resurrected, God performed a miracle, gave them back their physical life. We know that. That's all through Old Testament as well as New Testament. That's not necessarily what these verses are referring to. Even though we've already seen resurrection, so we know there's resurrections of the dead, but this is referring to toward the end. This doctrine of the resurrection of the dead is referring to and the latter end, Jesus Christ coming. Let's go to John chapter 5, the Gospel of John chapter 5. Jesus Christ is speaking here, because remember the point here is both Jesus Christ as well as Apostle Paul, both of them stated there will be resurrections of the dead. John chapter 5 in verse 28, Jesus speaking, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice." That's pretty straightforward to me. You know, Sadducees, it doesn't make any difference that they said they didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. Okay, fine. Because they don't believe in a resurrection of the dead doesn't mean that it's true. Jesus said, don't marvel at this because I'm telling you it's going to happen in the which it is coming, all that are in the grave will hear his voice. And then in Acts chapter 24, we see an example of the Apostle Paul. Acts 24, verse 14 and 15. Acts 24, verse 14. But this I confess unto you, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. Now, you can get the point what he's talking about. Oh, that's the way of heresy. He says, well, that way of life that they some say is heresy, he says, that's what I believe. You know, that way, that's what I believe. Because others were calling this heresy. This is the way I worship the God of my fathers. Believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. And then he goes on in verse 15 and he says, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. So it's pretty plain. Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul, both in the New Testament, state there is going to be this fulfillment of the resurrection of the dead. And we see through these verses here, both to the just and the unjust. We'll see a little of that later. A third point with major key scriptures is the Bible teaches there will be a resurrection from the dead. So the three points that I've given you so far is that Jesus Christ was resurrected and all men will be resurrected. Second point is Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul both taught it. And the third point is the Bible states it. The Bible states that there will be a resurrection of the dead. In Revelation chapter 20, you can turn there, we see clearly that there will be at least two separate resurrections. Brethren, as we analyze Revelation chapter 20, we're going to read verses 4 through 6. Please notice the two separate resurrections that are spoken of here. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Beheaded means they're dead. Okay? They're dead. And for the word of God, they were beheaded because of the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. So we know the timing of this is at the end of the ages. And then it goes on and it says, and they lived. There has to be a resurrection. If you're beheaded, you're dead. And if you're reigning, if you're living and reigning with Jesus Christ, there has to be a resurrection. Right? Right. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Verse 5. So that's one resurrection that's being referred to. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. And then it says this is the first resurrection. What he has been referring back to before this last statement, but the rest are going to live after the 1,000 years. But this is the first resurrection. He's talking about the ones that he've already been speaking of here. Verse 6, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. If you have a first, what we're always taught in school is that you also got to have a what? You got to have a second. And that's just what he's stating here. This is pretty straightforward. There is this showing here through these verses, there are at least two resurrections. One is at the return of Jesus Christ, and the resurrect is the spirit life to reign and rule of Jesus Christ. That's what it says. And the second one here is, and the rest live not again until the 1,000 years were completed. That's what it says. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection, on such the second death has no power. The second death is part of the topic of eternal judgment. So we will cover that the next time, you know, when we cover that particular doctrine. But that's part of that topic. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Paul keeps interjecting statements is what he's doing here. But what he's saying is, the first resurrection is a better resurrection. Hey, because you're back to spirit life and they're reigning and ruling with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. And the second death has no authority, no power, nothing to them. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were completed. And the implication is the second death might have something to do with them. Now again, we'll cover more of that next time because that fits better in there. But I want you at least to understand that this is what this is being stated here. So I want us here to emphasize again the phrase, the rest of the dead. Okay. The first resurrection, which is a better resurrection, and we can see that over in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 35. I'm not going to go there, but it's in Hebrews 11 and verse 35. You can see it. Is also described for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is known as the what chapter? The resurrection chapter. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll even see more again. And we're going to read again some of those verses we read earlier, but we're going to put them now in the context of what we're seeing, the timing of all of this. Verse 13, we will begin. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Okay, now go down to verse 19. We could read all of this. We could read from this whole chapter all the way to the end of the chapter and deal with the topic of resurrections in several different ways, but I'm not spending all the time in one book here, but we're going to spend a lot of time here. Verse 19. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Because if this is all there is, I mean, there is no God, there is no resurrection, it doesn't make any difference how we live our lives other than our neighbors like us if we're good, and our neighbors don't like us if we're not good. There'd be a whole lot of things that I think a lot of us would probably rather be doing if this were not true on a Saturday afternoon. But this is a Sabbath, and God is real. Jesus Christ died, Jesus Christ is resurrected, and so are we going to be resurrected. And so we have hope. And we do what we do. We make changes in our lives because of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now that's a powerful thing to think about it in that way. This is an important doctrine then whenever you look at it in that way. Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. By Adam came sin into the world, and by Jesus Christ there comes resurrection from the dead. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. And God is the one who picks the order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Isn't that what we just talked about in Revelation 20? Yeah, it is. That's the better resurrection. Verse 24. Then comes the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. Verse 26. The last enemy that is destroyed is death. There will come a time when there's no more need of the resurrection of the dead. Drop down to verse 50. Like I said, we could read all of this. And you may want to take time later to read all of this in the context of this particular topic. Go down to verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. Now a mystery is something that most everybody, they don't know the outcome. They don't know all the circumstances. They don't know who done it, you know, type thing. That makes it a mystery. What's going on? We don't know enough yet. This is what he's saying. But I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. This is the first resurrection, upon whom the second death has no effect. We saw that earlier. This is the one that's referred to as the better resurrection. This is what he's describing here. This is one that he's describing for the church. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. We go on. Here are two passages describing events of the second resurrection. We saw the first. We saw some things about the first one. There are a lot more scriptures that we could go to. But we're going on, and now here's a couple of passages with, about the events of the second resurrection. We go back to Revelation chapter 20 once again. Revelation 20 and verse 5. And you could read all of those scriptures through, but we're not. Revelation 20 and verse 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Now the point is, they are resurrected, which is the study we're doing, which is what we're looking at, the teaching of the resurrection of the dead. We've already seen there's a first resurrection, and now we're looking and seeing there is another resurrection. And so with our English style of teaching, if there's a first, then there's a second. And so it says this is the first resurrection, so this one is implying this is the second resurrection. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, resurrected before God. Remember I told you how the word is used? To stand, or to stand again, implying they were standing, they're not standing, they're standing again. That's what is inferred by the word. I'm not saying that that's in a technical sense, but in a usable way, that's what it is saying. And so if you're standing, and because you're alive, and if you're dead, you're not standing. And if you stand again, you've been resurrected. That's what's implied. That's what this is referring to. They stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. Now again, this is already getting into eternal judgment. With the church, it's reward. With the rest of the dead, it's judgment. Now we'll see more about that next time, you know, in the next doctrine, you know, that we look at. Okay, now let's go to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. This is referring to the Valley of the Dry Bones, and it starts off from saying this is the whole house of Israel. 1 through 14 in your notes. We're not reading 1 through 14 here. You can do that on your own. We're going to read verses 12 and 13. We're just going to read verses 12 and 13. Ezekiel 37 and verse 12. Therefore, son of man, is what it is saying, therefore prophesy and say unto them, say to these dry bones, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves. Implying what? They're dead. They're dead. I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves. I will resurrect you. Pretty straightforward. And bring you into the land of Israel. Verse 13. And you shall know as a result of this, it doesn't say that, but this is what it is saying, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. He's saying, then you're going to know. Then you're going to know that I am the Lord. Is this a doctrine, pretty important a doctrine to understand? I think it's pretty important to understand. Now, I know that many of us have known that for years the Church of God spoke of three distinct resurrections. Nowhere does the Bible actually state there is a third resurrection. However, the Bible is clear there is a second death. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20 once again. Revelation 20, verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Another word for, and they were resurrected. They delivered them up. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Again, this is hinging on eternal judgment. I know that, but we need to see some points here. Verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, I'm making these statements here based upon the fact that I just stated that there is no place in the scriptures that it actually says there is a third resurrection. But the Bible does state very clearly there is the second death. And this is where it very clearly states it. Verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This second death has no effect on those who were in the first resurrection. That's Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. However, it remains a possibility for everyone else. I'll let that sink in. And this topic will be discussed in a sermon on eternal judgment. So here is the point of this sermon on the resurrection of the dead. There is a resurrection to spirit life at the return of Jesus Christ. We saw that. And number two, there is a resurrection to physical life for the purpose of the judgment when 1,000 years are completed. We've seen that also. As I said earlier, there are a lot more scriptures that we could go through, and we could just see scripture on scripture on top of scripture up on top of scripture to get the point across, but I think the point has been made. The first resurrection at the return of Jesus Christ, that's a spirit life. The second resurrection to the after the 1,000 years have been completed and the rest of the dead for the purpose of being judged. Now, having said all of these things we've seen, now I want to come down to where I make the statement. Finally, we have these words of comfort. I want you to go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. And I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We have hope. We know the resurrection of the dead. We have hope. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Those are absolute words of comfort to anyone who understands the truth that there is the resurrection of the dead. This is an extremely important point to realize about the dead. God knows all who are in the graves. God will not forget any one of them. He will remember them all, and they will be brought forth. So yes, brethren, we have this wonderful knowledge. There will be the resurrection from the dead. And for God's church, it will be to life again as sons of God in His family. And as the Apostle Paul stated, without God's promise of the resurrection of the dead, we have no hope. Well, brethren, we do have a tremendous, awesome hope. And it is absolute. The hope in the resurrection of the dead. We have this awesome doctrine of the resurrection of the dead. And the Aaronic blessing, speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Brethren, we have been so blessed to understand these basic, fundamental doctrines, including this one, of the resurrection of the dead.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.